following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Once again, to It Came From the Radio. This is your host, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Speaking with me in the studio, I have Hassan Gawin sitting across from me.
I already said hi.
Yes, he did. I have Charlie Saladino sitting
across. How's everybody doing?
And Tom is always there helping us out in the studio.
So. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Tom.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can actually see us on the in-camera, in-studio webcam, which is actually taking 10 pictures at 10-second intervals. So if I actually wave in 10-second intervals, it looks like I'm waving. Nobody else is going to be waving. Just me. All right. And...
You wave alone. You are a man apart.
Well, actually, you are waving, but it's not catching within a 10 seconds.
Yeah, so it just looks like you're...
Wasn't that an old classic movie, You Wave Alone?
Just like you're saluting to Hitler like just now.
Okay.
See, Kyle. No, I was waving. I was just waving at it. Never mind.
And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811. So I'm going to take it away with the news.
Take it away with the news.
As always.
Or the moose.
The special moon news. That's what Herman is doing, because Herman has been missing for like 5-6 months already.
He got abducted and he likes it there.
He went to get the moon turkey. That was the last we said. Yeah.
That was Thanksgiving.
Yes, it was Thanksgiving. Went to get the moon turkey.
It was so good he decided to stay.
It's so funny because I talk to him every week. He goes, yeah, I'll see you at the show. Obviously,
maybe he's watching us on the camera.
Obviously, he's doing a show someplace else.
He's seeing us. We're not going to see him.
Here.
That's even better. He's doing his own show somewhere else completely.
With three other guys named Hassan, Mark, and Charlie. Yeah.
Like, I've been there every week. I don't know what's going on. It's not on the air. What's going on?
Yeah, it's always, I'll see you at the show.
Joke.
I go, okay.
That's not good.
So, as always, the news is always on our Facebook page, which is out there on the intertubes.
I love our Facebook page.
Yeah. It's.
I haven't been there.
Shame on you.
I respect nothing. I respect no form of social communication.
All right.
Sorry. I have to save face somehow. I'm just lazy, and I never went there.
That's all right.
I'm trying to help.
So you never seen my book signing picture?
No, I have actually, but only when you pointed them out to me.
Oh, okay.
And then I've seen yours on my page because when you like it, it comes up. But that's about it.
Hey, right. Mark, what's in the news?
So let's see. Tyler Perry has just been cast as detective psychologist Alex Cross. The character has already been portrayed by Morgan Freeman in Along Came a Spider in 1993.
Oh my God, Tyler Perry is going
to... Tyler Perry, yes, he's taking over the role.
You
don't like Tyler Perry?
He was good in Star Trek. I don't like Tyler Perry. I like Alex Cross. I like the Alex Cross novels, and he's going to butcher them.
You really think so? You think?
Yes.
Okay. You think that Tyler Perry is not up to Morgan Freeman quality?
Yeah, I think he's not up to Morgan Freeman.
Folks,
quality.
You can't get a more definite answer than that. He didn't even wait.
No.
Yes, I do.
He was in Star Trek for 15 seconds, and he made it even worse. And that movie was terrible. Terrible.
All right.
Terrible.
All right. Rob Cohen, who directed Mummy 3, is on board to direct this movie, and James Patterson, the writer of the novels, he wrote a draft of the script, and
it will
be...
It's just getting worse. Well, James Patterson's fine, because he wrote the novels, and he wrote the screenplay. That's fine.
Yes.
But Rob Cohen, not so good. Rob Cohen actually, according to the internet, directed the worst movie in human history, or the lowest...
Lowest grossing
movie in human history.
Oh.
Which is Stealth.
Wait, with Jessica Biel?
Yeah. That's not so good. So, okay, you got Tyler Perry and the guy who directed The Biggest Lemon that has ever been seen in American history. And you got Robert Patterson, James Patterson, who's, he doesn't balance it.
All right.
I would say it's a formula for success, right?
Speaking of formula for success,
Mr. Segway.
Formula for success.
TNT is bringing back Dallas with the original series stars Patrick Duffy, Linda Gray, and Larry Hagman all set to return to play as their former characters.
Whoa, this is new series or repeat?
It's a brand new series. TNT is bringing back Dallas.
Is it too late for me to go home?
What? Yeah, Patrick Duffy, Linda Gray, and Larry Hagman all coming back to reprise their roles on a new show on TNT. Of course, it's going to be like the 90210, the new one, which has, you know, some of the old cast and some of the newer cast. So
it's still going to be called Dallas?
Yes, it's still going to be called Dallas, and it has, like, they're the fathers now. It's the younger cast members include Desperate Housewives Josh Henderson as JR's son, John Ross. Fast and the Furious is Jordana Brewster as a mysterious woman who causes problems between John Ross and Bobby Ewing's son.
She was always like that.
the troublemaker.
She's that kind of girl.
So, yeah, I think that's kind of awesome, bringing back the original cast members to continue the story on, and Hassan is just giving me this look like that's the worst possible. You didn't like Dallas?
I liked it in 1978.
I liked it.
What do we need a story about oil barons now in the age of electric cars, you know, burgeoning electric cars?
Maybe that's
cars.
The storyline. They're going to be killing the guy.
It
you know,
better be. It better be J.R. Ewing running out of money and... on a bread line somewhere.
I liked it until Victoria Principal got up and saw Patrick Duffy taking a shower. And he wasn't
That's
dead anymore.
That's pretty much where everybody jumped off the show.
Jumping the shark.
The bad thing about it was that they had a spinoff show, Not Slanting, and I used to watch the show religiously. Killed off Bobby Ewing, he died in Not Slanting. And they had a funeral, and they had this, and they had that. And then when they brought him back in Dallas, they kind of just didn't mention it anymore on Not Slanting. They're like,
nothing
really happened.
Maybe it'll go away.
I always liked Dynasty.
So okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm lying. I never watched any of those shows. I like the theme song to Dallas. I have that on my iPod. I had to admit that, but they probably won't have the theme song. They'll have some hip.
Might.
They have some.
They
emo
have the
song.
Hawaii 5-0 song on the new Hawaii 5-0. They do.
Fine.
All right.
Why not? 90210, Hawaii 5-0. What? Dallas? Why not? Why? I don't know why we bothered living the last 30 years. The television's exactly the same. If someone died in the 70s and came back to life today, they would think it's the most successful television shows of all time.
What I want to know is, are they going to increase the size of the sets to make room for the original cast members, Walkers and Canes?
Yeah, well, come on.
I thought he was going to go for the Eagles, but we'll go with the Walkers and Canes. All right.
Well. Sorry, I just couldn't resist that.
Speaking of shows coming back.
Speaking of shows coming back, Mr. Segway.
You stepped on my line.
The Power Rangers are back. Starting this Monday.
What the heck am I doing
February
here?
February 7th.
I drove here.
The Power Rangers return for its 19th season.
I'm not going to watch them.
On Nickelodeon. As I'm a huge fan of Power Rangers, this is very awesome for me.
It's my point of contention with you.
To make it even more phenomenal.
More
phenomenal.
Right into that.
Bulk himself, a guy who I met at a San Diego convention, is going to be in the premiere. So, like, one of the original cast members is coming back for the 19th season of Power Rangers. So that's awesome. It's going to be on Nickelodeon on 2/7, which is Monday.
After 19 years. Okay. Yes. Is there anything that resembles the original show at
Bulk
all?
Bulk is going to be there, and I've actually seen some behind the scenes footage, and it appears that they're going to be using the original theme song.
You saw behind the scenes footage.
I like the Power Rangers.
Wow. Okay.
It's a good show.
Yeah. Sure.
You know what other show they're bringing back?
Me too.
What?
But obviously with a younger cast.
The Ghost and Mrs. Ma.
Yeah. That's next week. But they're talking about bringing back Charlie's Angels. Obviously,
again?
A younger cast. And it's going to be one of those, like, made for the WB or one of those things.
I don't think you could do it without John Forsythe's voice. It's just movie missing.
Well, you know, you can actually do it because you can take all the sound bites from his voice actually build a show around the sound bites.
That's possible, yeah.
Of course you can.
You know,
Yeah, I understand that they're actually seriously rethinking of bringing out a new issue of Thundercats. They've already got pre-production art and all that. And if you can believe it, they're thinking about redoing Annie.
Yeah, yeah, they are. We actually mentioned that they're going to have a new Broadway show.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean as a movie, and believe it or not, Will Smith and his family are going to be doing it. His daughter, what's her name, is going to play Annie, which is a real cast change.
What's her name?
Wow, Smith it's going to be like it's going to be like the remake of The Honeymooners, I guess.
Yeah,
was a blockbuster.
And the old remake of Sanford and Son. I mean, The Odd Couple. Remember The Odd Couple with the guy from Sanford and Son? That was 100 years ago.
Yes.
And it should be.
I remember that.
It's relegated to well-deserved obscurity because of how bad it was.
Continuing along the line of stuff coming back.
Oh, more.
Yes, more. Warner Brothers is teaming with CBS Films to make the definitive big screen movie of Stephen King's The Stand. Because of the length of the book, there might wind up being two movies, but they're not sure yet. All they know is that Stephen King will be involved somehow.
God. They just made The Stand, didn't they, in the 70s? Yeah, or
they did
15 years ago. Almost.
Yeah, so, it's due to come back. Yeah.
They did two versions of that, didn't they?
No, just one.
With Gary Sinise and Corin Emmerich. Didn't they make another one? Oh, no, that was Shining. They made like five Shinings.
Yeah, they've made two. I think they've made two versions of The Shining. There's Kubrick one, and then there's a TV movie version.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, I know, because we did it when I worked at Channel 7.
Oh, look at that.
It was on Channel 7 as a miniseries type thing.
Yeah, and The Stand is going to be the definitive, quote-unquote, Stand movie coming out. Well, until the next one comes along.
It can't be the definitive, because there's no way they could fit that whole book in a movie.
Well, they said it might be two movies.
Oh, good. People are going to come back more than once to watch the end of the world, to watch people dying of a super flu. Yeah, there's no zombies in it, okay? Actually, the plot line is rather ridiculous. So that's not gonna work out. I don't think that's gonna work.
You're sure about that?
Well, there's no zombies. There's no action sequences. There's no people like falling off of trucks and being dragged and fires and people jumping through windows with two guns and everything in slow motion.
It's very slow pace.
Machete.
It's not slow pace. You got the end of the world in the first half of the book, which is, a lot of tragedy and stuff like that, but not a lot of action sequences, if my memory serves me correctly. And then you got the face-off between the good and the evil.
At the end, yeah.
But at the end, spoiler alert, the hand of God comes, you got Ex Machina happening, and they blow everybody up, and it was like, well, why do these people make this journey in the first place if God was going to get involved? It's going to be great. It's going to be like Lord of the Rings. It's going to be epic in scope.
Speaking of epic in scope and Lord of the Rings. And
Mr. Segway.
Epic in scope and Lord of the Rings.
In 2012, just in case John Cusack will be wrong, there's going to be the new Superman movie coming out.
Mm-hmm. That'll be what triggers the end of the world.
The Hobbit Part 1, which is coming out.
Uh-huh.
The next James Bond movie, which is coming out. Yeah, yeah. And there's going to be a big budget Snow White movie coming out.
President Palin.
Everything happened. That's wrong.
They had to delay the Hobbit thing because
they kept losing directors.
No,
it was
he got sick. They had to go to the hospital for. Now he's out and he's all better.
Well, that's part of it, but there was that whole legal thing that was going on.
Oh yeah, but to further it, they're shooting and he gets sick and.
I think it's a conspiracy. let me see. A British actor, Henry Cavill, most well known by American audiences for his role in the series The Tudors, which I've never heard of.
You don't have cable, that's why.
It's
on show. It was on Showtime,
right?
Well, he's going to be cast as Superman. That is the new Superman.
Who?
The character's name was Charles Brandon. In the show, The Tudors. Okay. Oh, see, you've heard of the show at least, but you don't know anything about
it. I don't know the name. I never watched it, but I know the show.
Oh. Have you watched it?
I've only seen it because the commercials between feature films.
Right.
And
okay.
they just promo their stuff.
To death. let me see. And, I guess sad news. Sad news.
As if all the news you gave us just before wasn't sad.
What happened to being positive, Hassan? We're only four weeks in.
I'm
positive?
Still positive.
This is going to be bad. That's negative.
I'm still positive. I just, when I hear something that I think is going to be a terrible idea, I'm not going to lie to you. That would be kind of...
dishonest?
Yeah.
Oh, before I get to the sad news, it just reminded me, I was speaking of terrible stuff, the movie Mega Gator versus, what was it called?
I don't know, Giant Squid or...
Is this the one with
the
Tiffany?
The one with Tiffany,
and,
it came out.
Well, first of all, the Gator
it's
is called...
On,
the
Gatoroid.
Gator is called Gatoroid.
Yeah.
Mega Python versus Gatoroid.
Gatoroid.
That's it.
It's
that
coming
finally
on this
came
weekend.
It's
so close to infringement rights with Gatorade, it's not even funny.
Yeah, but not quite.
Not quite.
It's, not
it's
quite
Gatoroid.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if a drink doesn't come out called Gatoroid. Well, have Tiffany's picture on it. Yeah.
I wouldn't drink that.
So, yeah, so all you guys, if you missed it this past weekend, they're actually going to show it again on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, it's coming
and
on.
I'm
it's
sure
a Sci-Fi
it's
Channel. It's going to come back
many
on.
Many times.
Yeah. We're not. No one's got a problem.
But I am looking forward to seeing this because it's going to be awesome. Because if it's anything compared to Giant Shark versus Mega Octopus, the grand surprise of last year, this is going to be it. This is, I just can't wait for it. I'm very excited.
There's so many train wrecks in this film.
I
love
Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. I think it's the other way around. Mega Shark
versus
Giant
Octopus. Not Giant
Octopus. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I can't even remember those combinations after because there's like 10 of those movies.
I know. And they're all awesomely bad. But the Mega Shark is the best one.
Well, the beauty of it is...
Tiffany and what's-her-name are going to have a fight.
Yeah.
Mud. It's a mud fight or something.
Well, Swamp Lord.
Why not? Do you want to see two 80s has-beens have a fight in a mud...
Yeah. 80s has-beens. That's wrong. Don't call them 80s has-beens. Call them classic...
What would you want me to call them?
Classic.
If they were stars in the 80s...
Stars.
If they were stars in the 80s, and now they're in Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus versus Angry Hippo versus whatever, then they're kind of has been ish.
Next stop, the Hollywood Squares.
Paul Lynn, who's still there.
Anyway, as I was going back to the sad news, composer John Barry, who developed a twanging guitar riff in James Bond, has passed away in New York on Sunday.
That's too bad.
The family did not release the cause of death. His musical credits include such films as... Dances with Wolves, Midnight Cowboy, Body Heat, Goldfinger, From Russia with Love, Thunderball, You Only Live Twice, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, Diamonds Are Forever, The Man with the Golden Gun, Moonraker, Octopus, A View to a Kill, Living Daylights, Robin and Marion, Somewhere in Time, The Cotton Club, Peggy Still Got Married, Howard the Duck, just to name a few. So that man is like a grandmaster composer.
Yeah, he wasn't young when Dances with Wolves came out, so it could just be that he died of natural causes. Because he was in his...
77 when he died.
So, yeah, so he was...
I thought you were going to say he was in his 77s when he made that. I'm like, wow, he's been dead all this time. That's a great composer.
He must have been in his early 60s when he made Dances... when he did the soundtrack for Dances with Wolves, so... He was not young.
In an interview, when questioned about his success, he was quoted as saying, "If you hit the right formula, if you had the right instinct for music, if you apply it, if you have the good fortune to meet with certain people who teach you well, it isn't that difficult at all."
Well, yeah, if you had all those ducks in a row, everything is smooth sailing right after that. If you just find $1 million
I'll buy a comic book.
Invest it correctly. And you don't get caught by the authorities or killed by the whatever drug dealers that you found it from. And life is a bed of roses after that.
Well, so, you know, he was 77 and his music will be missed. So we are actually ready for our break. We'll be right back with a game from the radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. A cold finger.
from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you feel. Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. He loves only gold. Only gold. He
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back from Came from the Radio, your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with Hassan Galvin and Charlie Saladino.
Hi, Charlie.
You know, we always have such great conversations during a break. It's always weird that we come back laughing. I try not to, but it happens every
time. No, they miss out. You should be in the studio.
Yes,
you know how brilliant we are.
All the listeners out there are invited
all
to
six
the
of them. Come.
Could I say something?
Yeah.
No, it has nothing to do with the show. It has nothing to do with anything.
Oh, okay.
But I just want to know if people feel the same way about this. Whenever you're passing a restaurant and they say, we have the best hamburger in the world, or, you know, best hamburger in town or something, I always go in there and the hamburger's terrible. It's not the best hamburger in town. And I always make a point of telling the chef.
Really?
I always say,
after you've eaten,
this is not the... And I go, look at my stomach. I had a little practice in this. And I says, it's not... I went to this place right up the road here. And it's right after the diner we always go through after the show.
Not the one we go to. Yeah, not that one.
No. It's right after that. But it said that...
That was
actually
close.
Actually, it said in the window, the best hamburger, so I had to walk in.
He stopped off.
I stopped off.
He hit the brake. Whoa.
Oh. Yeah, I'll be the judge of that.
You went running in.
I'm a world-traveling hamburger aficionado. Let me try your wares.
Yes.
That's what you did, right? You had
for sample.
I am hamburger man. Yeah. So I actually pulled up in the... in the parking lot, and I went in.
Just
went in.
Okay.
And I sat down. It was a nice little place. It's called American Classic Restaurant. It's right after. It gets better. I go in, and besides them having the best tasting hamburger in the world, a guy comes out whose girlfriend owns the place. Colleen and Naomi own the place. And the guy Dominic, who's Colleen's boyfriend, is. Grew up in my old neighbor. I know him.
Really?
Yeah, I know him.
Did he comp you?
After he insulted him.
It was delicious. The food was great. And I'm thinking before the next show next week, this is where we're going.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then you just concur, or, you know. I said.
We'll try.
It was a bunch of nice people in there, and Colleen and Naomi own it.
And they actually have the best hamburger you've had.
They had the best, I was going to say something, hamburger I've ever tasted.
All right, I'm curious. Okay.
I felt like that I was sitting there eating it, and I just felt like Once Upon a Time in Mexico, that scene when I was just sitting there and going, this hamburger is so good that I'm going to go in the kitchen and kill the chef. You know, but it's like, you know, I can't actually kill the chef because it's Kevin, Colleen's son, and we would never have that hamburger again.
Oh,
so,
yeah, and you'd be in jail.
But anyway, that's the way
you'll have a different type of sandwich. Yeah.
So anyway, this is what we're doing next week before the show.
All right.
All right. And then you can say, not that this had anything to do with anything, but it just came to mind. Go ahead.
It reminds me of a one-panel cartoon I once saw, a whole bunch of restaurants in a row. The first one said, the best hamburgers in town. The next one said, best hamburgers in the state. The next one said, best hamburgers in the country. Next one said, best hamburgers in the world. Next one said, best hamburgers in the galaxy. The last one said, best hamburgers on this block. And that's the one all the crowds went to. Also, just because the worst hot dog I ever ate in the world was in a place that claimed they had the best, which fortunately no one's ever likely to run into here, since they were located in a suburb of Buffalo.
North Tonawanda.
Said they had heavenly hots. I think what they meant was you eat one and you're headed for heaven. Yeah. I don't mean because you like the taste of it either.
Wow. Well, they had two of the waitresses, very good looking girls, Ashley and Ashley. Yeah, I got them. Ashley and
what the heck?
And Teresa. So even if the hamburger wasn't good, you didn't care, but it was. So next week we're going there.
All right.
I think Charlie bought stock in the establishment.
Yeah, like Herman, my band. No, this is nothing like that. I just went to stop in and have a hamburger, which is the best hamburger.
Well, actually, your little hamburger story does bring us to our topic of the week. Experience. I've been doing this for a while. I was thinking about talking about the experience of watching a movie. There are so many different ways to watch a movie now. As we mentioned, you can watch a movie on cable, you can watch a movie on DVD, on computer. There's not even a real need to go to the movie theater except for first run, but even that, you know, if you're a poor person, you can go buy a Fat Al bootleg, which we don't condone, and you can go out there and watch it in that form. So, to you guys, what is your best way of getting in and watching a movie? Where do you feel most comfortable watching a movie, and why?
Okay. Well, I'd say the way I decide how to watch a movie, I lost my voice there for a minute. How to watch a movie is I actually think this out, believe it or not, and I say, how do I want to see this movie? Do I want to wait for the DVD and watch it home? Do I want to go to the movies because this is a movie I should see in the movies, on the big screen, on IMAX, on 3D, whatever? And that's how I determine it. Like this movie that just came out recently, and it was only shown in selected theaters, I decided to wait for the DVD because I wasn't going to get to the selected theaters, and it's a movie that I want to see personally. It's called Nowhere Boy, and it's about John Lennon, and so it was only playing like in the city in selected theaters. So the DVD came out, you know, last week, so I'm happy with that. It's not a movie I did want to see in the movie theater, so that determines whether that's, you
but
know.
But is it something that you would, if a selected theater was near you, would you have gone to see it?
Oh yeah, I would have went because, you know, of course you don't want to wait for the DVD, but it wasn't a driving force. Okay. If it was yours or you know, Marianne's theater, you know,
you would have went. All right,
but I mean, I you know, it wasn't a priority.
So the medium to you just didn't matter. It was just location, convenience.
Right, and that's how I determine how I'm seeing some movies.
Okay.
Other movies that I want to see in 3D IMAX, I run wherever they are.
All right.
You know.
What about you, Hassan? What is your take?
There's only one way to watch a movie, and that's quietly. And everybody who knows me knows that I'm actually notorious for like not wanting to hear a sound.
Yeah.
Because I know some people who like to talk through the movie.
There are people who also make commentary while you're watching
The inevitable
it.
Question comes, I don't even understand what's going on. Do you know what's going on? So, yeah, you know why I know? because I've been ignoring you and listening to the movie that I paid a lot of money for. Because it's not a joke anymore, paying for a movie.
It's a classic.
Then
that,
and I bought you popcorn, so I'm not going to be able to make a car payment this month because of this trip to the movies.
It's the classic thing. I mean, I've seen movies with certain people, and they're talking through the movies. Who's that guy? What's that guy doing?
Oh,
and I'm like, I'm watching the same movie you are.
Yeah. How am I supposed to know? I know what you know.
Yeah,
I know people who like to ask questions, and they're just rhetorical questions, but they need to voice the questions, and sometimes it gets on my nerves.
For bad movies, I think that is necessary to keep on going.
Listen, everybody has their own way of watching a movie, and however anybody sees a movie or enjoys a movie is their business, so there's no right or wrong way. But as far as I'm concerned, the movie is a conveyance of information, and you are there to absorb the information, i.e. watching and listening and analyzing the information that you're being given either visually or audiophonically.
Okay.
And you need to pay attention, you know. Plus, you paid money. That should be the number one motivator for people paying attention in a theater.
So for you, it's more of a financial thing. So if all movies are free...
What did I just say?
No, I'm saying if you didn't have to pay for a movie...
Paying attention.
All right.
You're not paying attention to what
I recall watching a movie with you, and it was, in your opinion, a horrible movie. And I was enjoying myself profusely, and you're like, oh my God, this is terrible. Oh, this is terrible.
I only said that once, and I think it must have been the Transformers. That or G.I. Joe.
No, it was
Dragon Wars?
Yes.
Well, come on. Come on.
You were commentating
and
on
I didn't,
it.
I actually didn't say a lot. I just groaned a lot.
I didn't
actually have it, because I know I have also respect for the people who are watching the movie with me. They don't need to hear my loud mouth.
So then why order movies at all if you're in? No, I mean, why go to a theater if there's going to be other people there? Somebody's going to be making some noise, and if you prefer to hear it quietly, then why would you go to that?
Well, ultimately, you're supposed to be quiet in a movie. Whatever jerk is in the movie talking through it is actually not doing it correctly, you know? And the actual movie does tell you to be, you know, shut the heck up, because, you know, don't be rude to your fellow, you know, patrons of the movie. So...
Yeah, it gets to the point where they have to say that on the screen.
It's like a library. Yeah. You're supposed to be quiet. You're supposed to absorb the information. It's supposed to be a setting where you are in a comfortable environment where you're being fed entertainment. And people, you know, basically there's people with very, very big egos and, you know, very small self-esteems, and they don't know how to allow themselves to sit still long enough to enjoy the movie. And since they can't enjoy themselves, they don't feel obligated to allow anybody else to enjoy themselves, and therefore they need to talk and squirm around and fidget and do whatever they do in films, and I don't appreciate that, but there's nothing I can do about that.
It's like,
and they always find me. They always find, no matter where I sit in the theater,
that guy.
And even if I sit all the way in the back and there's nothing but wall behind me, there's going to be someone behind me.
That's actually the same way with me and smokers. The wind could be blowing east, I'll sit to the west, the smoke comes to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It always comes to you.
Yeah, luckily, but, I mean, they've got laws against that now.
Yeah.
So that's on your side. But laws against talking in the movie theater.
Well, you haven't lived until you've seen a movie with our phantom co-host, Herman. Because have your ribs padded. Goes, he leans over and he's one of those, watch this, watch what's coming, watch it.
Oh,
so I said, wow, so much for the surprise factor here.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to watch it.
So when you used to watch movies in the olden times, not saying that you're old.
Right.
So long ago, they had cigarette commercials done by doctors.
Were people more quiet in those days? Because I personally noticed a progression between when I used to watch them as a kid and then when it goes older.
I'm going to answer that right after Tom says something.
Yeah, one time they had uniformed ushers who, if people started making too much noise,
they come down with the flash. Yeah.
Quiet.
They seek you out. Yeah, like in the...
the character in
the
Charlie 70s. Brown. I mean, not Charlie Brown, but Fat Albert. It was Searchlight Johnson. Remember they were in the movie theaters and there was an old guy with a flashlight. His name was Searchlight Johnson.
back in the old days when me and Herman were going to the double features in Ozone Park, we went to the casino, Leffitt's, and even the Cross Bay Theater, we would go, but more the Casino and the Leffets. They were the double features, the Hammer films, right. The old horror films. And we would go in there, and the place would be blasting with, like, just, you know, characters and just noise. And then the movie would start. And then, you know, until something happened, then you get...
That needed the audience reaction.
Yeah, and something happened. And like Tom says, you had ushers that would come down and would shine the light in your face and say, stop it, you talk again, are you leaving? And they weren't afraid. Nobody was afraid. Nobody had lawyers, you know. It's like, you know, they just grabbed you and it's a big taqueris. They're out. You know? That was it.
So...
Yeah, now the worst way to see a movie is to go to the kiddie matinee and stagger out with your ears ringing from all the shrieking and not being able to hear one word out of four.
Yeah.
And the back of your head covered with half-eaten juicy fruits and soft drink and popcorn spilled down your front.
That's
the second worst way is to have someone beside you who not only talks but does it in an Elmer Fudd accent for some weird reason.
Wow.
Oh, there's gonna be trouble. Shut up. And the third worst way is to go to what Charlie was saying before, to sit beside a real nervous Nelly who has a set of muscles.
Yeah.
And every time something happens on the screen goes, whoops, it gets you right in the rib cage with an elbow.
Yeah.
And by the time you're done, it's coffee, tea, or defibrillation.
Yes. Or defibrillation while he's hitting you.
So with all these problems, why go to a movie theater at all?
I don't know. Well, good question. I don't.
I went, there's one very wonderful example, nothing to do with science fiction, but it's a wonderful example. In 1964, my mom took me into downtown Brooklyn to see A Hard Day's Night.
Okay.
I sat in that movie theater. I looked at the screen, did not hear one word. Constant screaming. These girls, constant screaming. My mother taps me and points to the girl next to me who is jumping up like somebody is electrocuting her and screaming. I did not hear that movie until maybe 10 years later when it was on Channel 7 at night.
The movie isn't that good.
Yeah.
All those years, and it's a letdown.
Well, you know, there's always a persistent rumor that at one of their concerts at Shea Stadium, the Beatles never even bothered to plug in their guitars because they knew the music would never be heard over the shrieking.
Yeah.
But as for why it's worth going to the theater, I can only give you the best example I can give you was the year back in the 70s when Star Wars first came out, the one that's now A New Hope, but then it was the one and only. And I'll never forget, I saw it in a huge theater in Hicksville, 70-millimeter, massive screen. And I'll never forget when it opened up. You remember how that movie opens. First, there's the Princess Leia's ship zips across the thing, you know. And then that Imperial Star Cruiser
comes in,
and it just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. And this massive, huge ship.
The rumbling filling, sound.
And the rumbling noise and the stereophonic speakers. And this massive ship that looks like a flying city of filling the entire screen. That was an experience that that's right up with one of my top 10 cinematographic experiences of all time. And that's why it's worth going to it in the theater, if you can get a good adult, quiet audience, and good projection, and good sound, and a good movie, and then it all comes together, and man, it's worthwhile.
So, realistically, it's the experience versus convenience in modern age times. You know, you think, I can say, I distinctly remember my older experiences watching movies as a kid, as opposed to stuff I've seen now. It's very rare when I can be like, wow, this was a really good experience. And it's not, whether or not the movie was good or not, it's that the experience might not have been as enjoyable as it was back then. Maybe because we're so inundated with all the,
you
know, how things are.
The trick about movies is it actually is, as strange as it is, it's a social experience, so you kind of have to go with people to really, usually, to enjoy yourself, because you kind of feed off the reactions of the people that you're there with and stuff.
And stuff.
And stuff. Although I'm about to contradict myself, because my last really intense movie experience was I was by myself in a audience full of senior citizens. And I went to see the matinee showing of Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
And it's just a very intense movie. And it was intense enough that a lot of none of the seniors were talking, you know? They didn't have anything to say. And then most of them were actually walking out because it was a little too much for them.
Right.
And it was just I just remember kind of walking out of the movie theater shaking. It was like the last, like, really intense. And I wouldn't have gotten that experience if I had watched it at home. I would have enjoyed the movie,
right?
But I wouldn't have had that kind of profound experience. But the experience, the phenomenon of a grand experience at a movie is so rare that you don't really factor it in when you steal a movie, you know, when you download a movie or when you buy a DVD, when you skip it, you let it just go past you in the movie theaters and then you bring it home and watch it, because your last really great experience was, I mean, Tom's was 1977, you know? I mean, one of them, he can recount, you know, he has 10 of them in all the years of watching, because they're not that common, because there's other people there, and other people usually mess up the equation, you know? They ruin things, and sometimes the movies aren't that good.
So they're a necessary evil, the participating audience members.
I don't know. I don't think you can. I personally don't feel like you can say, well, watching a movie at home is better than watching it in the theaters. There are times you're in the mood to deal with absolutely no one, and you can do that at home. There are times you need to be around people. There are times when a movie comes out and you can't get a decent copy of it anywhere, so you have to go to the movie theaters. Or there's times when a movie comes out, you've seen it, and you say, I have to go see this in a giant theater. There's no reason to eradicate the format, you know, altogether. They do. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done to improve the experience, because it's kind of every man for himself once you pay your ticket, and you're paying to enjoy yourself. And there's very few parameters in place that will ensure that you actually get to enjoy yourself, you know.
You got to think about, even with an old, used to work at a television studio, the audiences in there used to get all dressed up and used to be quiet. But nowadays, you know, you get people
going to a show.
Yeah, it's like you go to a show and put the tie on. I mean, you see it in all the old sitcoms when they used to come down to eat in a shirt and tie. And,
yeah.
You know, mother used to get dressed up. My mom always used to kid around, yeah, I clean the house like that, you know. It's like, you know, let me put on my Sunday dress to clean the house. So, but
did you notice any difference in the audience quality in all the years you were at ABC when you were doing the shows over there? Did you do any live shows there?
Well, the audience quality at a show rather than a movie theater, they're there to see this, to experience what they see on TV, and it's amazing. They walk in, and it's amazing to them. It's like, it never changed for me. I'm always amazed when I'm walked into a studio, when I walk in a studio and see a live show, because you're always seeing it on TV, and now you're there. So I think you tend to be a little more quieter, and you fully enjoy this experience. I have never seen an out-of-control audience. It's
never seen Jerry Springer.
You know, like a noisy audience or anything like that. There's sometimes when there's a guest on where it's a... you know, like women especially, don't send me letters. This is just a statistic.
Women,
if there's a hot guy on the set, you'll hear women more than, like, woo, woo, you know, the little things like that. But I have to say, in all my years at ABC, all the audiences were well-behaved, and they're mature, and, you know.
Right.
And nothing...
I went to see Inception. That was one of those weird experiences where there was an audience full of... I mean, it was packed. It was the last time...
Packed, and nobody said anything.
Yeah,
because they had to pay attention.
Well, you have to pay attention, but I mean,
movie.
The people were rambunctious when it started, and people were bouncing around, and I sat down, and I was like, you know, I don't want to... You know, and some two jerks were behind me, like, this movie...
They're your shadows. They follow you around.
Whatever they're talking about. They were never talking about anything relevant either, you know? It's like, I need a new seat for my car.
And you try not to pay attention. The more you try not to, they just
can't
just
not hear,
just goes in.
You could it funnels in, and then almost as soon as the credits started, you could hear a pin drop. In fact, at one point, I only remember this because of the fact that someone reacted to it. There was one particular scene in the film, and when it happened, I heard the guy behind me whisper, like, "Oh my God." that was as loud as anybody got. And actually that his exclamation of that moment actually profoundly affected me, to where I was like, yeah, this movie's pretty intense. I watched it again. The movie's all right. But, I mean, when I first saw it, it was like,
the experience.
Is, you know, yeah. Exactly. There's times when you see something in a movie theater and you think that's amazing. That film is fantastic. And it's mostly because of the setting and the sound and the moment that you actually are seeing it, and who you are at the time and what happened to you on the way there and on the way home. Then you get the DVD and you're like, oh, yeah, all right, well. Avatar. Have fun.
I remember I was watching, what was that movie? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Why? I'm kidding.
But we didn't know it was going to be subtitled. Oh. So people are talking, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, it starts with the subtitles. And at that point in time in my life, I was used to seeing subtitles. So I was like, all right, I can watch subtitles. Then that's all you heard. What's the English? The confusion was around me. It was funny. And then all of a sudden, just died down because people had to read.
Yeah. Either that or leave, you know. You're going to miss the whole film.
So I guess it's just one of those things.
Americans can't read. That's the problem.
Yeah,
and they're stupid. That's just the time.
Yeah, I'll never forget. A movie we've all seen, everyone's seen. Some people seen it so much that they don't want to see it again. But The Wizard of Oz, you know, everyone sees it on TV. Everyone's seen it either on broadcast or DVD or VHR. But I remember one time. Again, I'm dating myself. This is back in the 70s. They re-released it, freshly made prints, into the theaters for a very limited run. And I went to see it, and I can tell you, it was a totally different experience. It was like seeing a whole different movie. I think what it is, it's something about people coming together for a common entertainment experience, the dark sort of melding everyone and everything into one, and the focused attention on that huge screen and the larger-than-life figures. The sepia in the beginning scenes, the bright colors, especially when Dorothy first opens that door and walks out into Munchkin Land. I mean, it was such a totally different and, well, it'd be blunt, more wonderful experience than seeing it on TV, even a good TV, even a big screen TV, that there really was no comparison. It was like seeing a whole different movie and a whole different experience.
I just recently watched it again on HD, which is not quite what he's talking about, but it's still... And I wasn't watching it. A group of friends were watching it in the room, and I just came in, and I saw that the sequence where they first come into the Emerald City, and the horse keeps changing color. I'm like, what the heck is this? What are you watching? You know? And they're like, you haven't seen this before? And I'm like, no, I've never seen this movie before. And they told me it was a Wizard of Oz. I was like, no, it's not. No, I know the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
I've seen it a billion times. This looks like a brand new movie. And it was... It's you realize what you're missing, what you've been missing over the years with the standard definition.
Well, with The Wizard of Oz, last year they released it in HD, and what they were doing was you had to go online and you had to reserve a ticket at certain locations. Really? They were showing it on the screen, on the big screen. And like Tom said, I had to see it on the big screen because I watched it all my life on a little television. And so I reserved my tickets, and my sister loves that movie. So me and my sister went, and it was great that I did that reserve thing because people that were there to see it were getting turned away because it was sold out. And and I'm like walking in, haha, I got my ticket. And then they beat the hell out of me. But no, but that's like Tom says, you go in after watching it on TV, and she opens that door, and all of a sudden it's like game over, whole new ball game. And it was amazing. So, and then I mentioned this on the show, that I put myself back in 1939 That's where I focused myself. I went back to 1939, and I said to myself, how would somebody back then, walking into the theater, watching this for the first time, just... And I said they had to be blown away.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Actually, I actually had the benefit of having the ability to play DVDs at the theater I work at. And one of the movies I love to see was Transformers, the original animated series. I've seen that movie probably more than I've seen any movie in my life. And I actually saw it in the very same theater I now work at when I was a kid. Deep. I saw it, it three times. And I've seen that movie, you know, 100 times. I can recite that movie backwards and forwards. And when I put it again... I took the DVD and put it on the big screen. It was just a weird experience. Like, wow, this is how I was way back then when I used to
How did
it
look? How did it look?
It held up. It held
really?
Up because I had the DVD with nice quality.
Yeah.
But the sound, we didn't
Which
have the sound.
Is that, by the way? I got to do that.
We didn't have the sound. We didn't have the sound quality, but it was still the visuals was there.
That's awesome.
I can honestly tell you guys that, and everybody else that's out there, that there is a movie that you have to see in the theater. You have to see it. You can't bring the DVD home and watch it yourself. You can watch it with a group of people, but you have to see this movie in the theater, and it's called The Rocky Horror Picture Show. And there's no way you cannot see this movie in the theater. You cannot bring this DVD home. It's not the same.
Well, it's not a movie. It's an experience.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean... The first time in the 70s, like my friend said, hey, you got to come and see this movie. It's playing out in the islands, playing at midnight, and you wouldn't believe it, it's out of control. And we went there.
Union
and the
Del Mini Cinema, may it rest in peace. I miss you, Minnie.
Yeah. It's like, wow. When I first came, I got rained on. I got, you know.
Double feature, picture show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I've seen it actually in on a big screen. The last time I saw it was I was watching a shadow cast of it, but I wasn't watching them. I was actually watching the film.
Yeah,
and I was actually first time because I've seen it a bunch of times on TV, but the way it kind of projects on television, you kind of lose your place after a while. Yeah. Like you know, it has a lot of grand moments, a lot of grandiose scenery, and then a lot of talking, which kind of like just takes you out of it. But when you're watching it in the theater.
Yeah.
Everything still looks profound, yeah. So it holds your attention.
The thing of it is a movie on the big screen has power. I can't put it any more succinctly than that. Yeah. It has far more power than looking at it at a small screen. And another example I can give, if you ever are lucky enough to see the original King Kong on a big screen, that ape on the Empire State Building with the planes swirling around, I've known people have actually gotten motion sick from it. That's a film with power. And any film, unless it's really the most intimate type of film, will have far more power in the darkened environment on a big screen where it's larger than life and your attention is focused and you're sharing a communal experience.
Well, that is a great final thought from Tom. Do you have anything to follow that up, or are you not?
Yes. Be quiet. Be quiet in the movies. Absorb the information. You can dispel it later, okay? But for the time being, you know that crucial moment. Shut up and pay attention.
In this day and age with digital now, you can bring any movie that you ever wanted to see on the big screen, throw it in the machine, and you can watch it. So. If you have that option, or you could just talk to Mark and see when there's time available.
Standard
you know?
Deaf, black and white.
Yeah, I'm
television.
Talking like you know. I know everybody in the movie business.
I know
and
those
we could
guys.
Do. I could do that anytime I want. Sorry about that, folks, but call Mark. He'll set you up with something.
So that does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. You can join us next week right here on WGBB. If you missed any part of the show, you can go online to www.itcamefromtheradio.com. You can listen to our archives. It'll be up in a week. And remember to like us on our Facebook page. Once again, you can always email us at mfc_studios@hotmail.com, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.